We're holding the Mishnah Psachim Daf Yud Amud Beis. Again, the today's Daf is Daf Yud Aleph. We're holding by the Mishnah at the bottom of Yud Amud Beis, Vayter in the Dinim of Bedika. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Baitkin Ar Yudalad. We check, we quote this Mishnah as one of our rayas as to what the Ar means. This Mishnah is pretty clear. Ar means the night of the 14th. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you check, but Ar Yudalad, the night of the 14th, Uv Yudal Chakras. Then Yudal in the morning. Uvishas Habir, and then again Vishas Habir, which means the time we get rid of the chametz, which we'd assume was around the sixth hour, where everyone agrees it would really be exactly the next Mishnah coming up. We'll discuss the Shas Habir more clearly, but Rabbi Yehuda seems to be saying, at first glance, the Gemara assumes what Rabbi Yehuda is saying is, you need to check three times. You need to check at night to the 14th, again in the morning, and again Vishas Habir, and the Gemara is going to wonder, why on earth a person would have to check three times? It doesn't make sense. Once he checked in such a close proximity of time, why check again? The Gemara will ultimately fall off the site, but that's the Gemara's initial understanding of Rabbi Yehuda. It's step one, step two. You should check the night of the 14th. If you didn't check by night, then check in the morning of Yidal. If you didn't check on the morning of the 14th, then you check during the Mayid itself. If you didn't check Pesecha Mayid, then he checks after the Mayid. Now, in general, this is what we quoted also earlier in the parak, this that he finds when he checks any of these bidikas, at night of the 14th, the morning of the 14th, whatever he finds, he should keep on the side in order that it shouldn't be chapped by some sort of critter, achmer, weasel, whatever it may be, and then he's going to acquire a full new bidika of the house. He should make sure to keep it securely set aside. Okay, but now when the Mishnah says that, according to Abanan, if he didn't check on the morning Yidalad, he could check Pesach HaMayid. And if he didn't check Pesach HaMayid, he could check after the Mayid to separate the Chametz cells during the Mayid and after the Mayid. What does Pesach HaMayid and Achar HaMayid mean? So Taisvis and the Rosh and Rif all learned, they learned similar. Just, there's a nuance between Taisvis and the Rosh and Rif, but we'll just speak it out. They learned the simple Taish that one would Taish. The Achar Mayid really means Pesach. Taisus just says the point of contention where Taisus argues the Rif and the Rush is the Rif and the Rush seem to say that Mayid means Pesach itself, whereas the Rif and the Rush say Mayid means Pesach itself, whereas Taisus says Mayid means from the seventh hour. Meaning we spoke out a couple of hours ago very clearly at a bunch of rayas that Chametz is Aser min Atayra from Chatzais on Erev Pesach, from the Zman of being the Karav Pesach, from Chatzais on Erev Pesach. Chametz is Aser from then till after Pesach. So Taisus just learns Mayid doesn't just mean Yamtiv of Pesach, it means including from the seventh hour on Erev Pesach on through the rest of Yamtiv. And Achamari means after Yamtiv. And the Rif and the Rush, they just seem to say that the Mayid means Yamtiv itself. Forget about the hour 7 till the end of the day on Erev Pesach. Mayid means Yom Tov itself, and Achar Mayid means Yefti Yom Tov. But they both seem to agree to the simple general type of Mayid meaning Yom Tov, and Achar Mayid meaning Yefti Yom Tov. What's unique is, look at Rashi. Rashi on the Mishnah, Rashi clearly says, the only Rashi's on the Mishnah focus on these two words, Pesach Mayid and Achar Mayid. Rashi Pesach Mayid says, B'shah Shishis. Rashi says, we're talking about checking in the sixth hour, which is the Mayid. Mayid means like the time. It's the time of beer. The time of beer is the sixth hour. That's what everyone agrees. You have to be burning the chametz before the end of the sixth hour in order to become a chatzais. So Mayid means check by the time of beer. Ula Acham Mayid means after the time of beer, meaning from the sixth hour on till it gets dark. That's how Rashi is learning a unique taich in Mayid and Lacham Mayid. In our Mishnah, different than normally Mayid would be Yamtiv, different than the Rush, Taisus, and the Rif, who say Taka means Yamtiv. Okay, says the Gemara. My time with Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Gemara's elaborate first of all, we're going to get a better clarification of what Rabbi Yehuda means, Bechlau. Till now we're understanding he means you have to do three Bedikas. And more specifically, once we get the correct title of what Rabbi Yehuda means, what exactly is the point of contention between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham in our Mishnah? So let's see. My time with Rabbi Yehuda wants to know, what's the reasoning for Rabbi Yehuda? Says Gemara of Chizr Rabbi Rav Huna Dami Tarvayo. They both say Kineges Shalish Shabbosayis Hashkineges Shalish Hashvasa Shabbateira. So Rav Chizda and Rabbi Rav Huna are still going with the simple taich of the Mishnah of Rav Huna of Rav Yehuda, which is that you need three bedikas, and the source is based on the three times it says in the Torah, the mitzvah of Hashvasa of destroying the chametz. Three bedikas corresponding to the three commandments of Hashvasa in the Torah. Says Gemara, what are the three commandments? Layer l'cha chametz, layer l'cha asar. That's one. You shouldn't find it, which means get rid of it. Shivas Yam Tzelim Matzav Bedeichem. That's two. Second pasuk says don't get rid of. You shouldn't find chametz in the house, meaning get rid of it. And lastly, Achbiyam Rishon Tashpis Hashem Matzav Bedeichem. So the first two, Alavim, and the and the third is Asay. But the point is three separate commandments about getting rid of chametz. Therefore, he requires three separate bedikas. Masar Rav Yehesi Beis Ves. What do you mean? Look at the following brisa. Rabbi Da Emer Kol Shlei Badak Shalosh Parakam Alalu Shuv Ein Baidik. Whoever didn't search at these three times, he shouldn't be baidik anymore. Alam Mekam Beilachu De Pligi. Sounds like the machlekes is about checking afterwards. Meaning, the Chum said if you missed these times to check, you can still check on Yom Tov, still check on Mayan. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't, was saying in the brisa, the brisa elaborating, that Rabbi Yehuda Shito has no, you can't check on the Mayan. And we'll explain why that is in a few moments. We'll explain now, actually, the Mayan's explain in a few moments, both the Machlaikas would be. The Rabbanon held that you allowed to check on Pesach. We're not scared that there's a Yatzah Sarab of Sadi. You're checking for, if you didn't do a B'dik until now, you can check on Pesach. But then you're coming into contact with Chametz on Pesach itself. That's part of what you're trying to avoid. Chum say, no, it's okay because you're coming to get rid of it, therefore it's going to be okay. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, seems to hold that no, you cannot check on Yantav itself. You shouldn't. That's a negative. Once you missed it, and it's Yantav now, don't check. But you see from the Lashna Bryce, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda was only saying, the Machlekes Rabbi Darbanan is, do you check even on Yantav? But to have three checkings versus one checking, the Darbanan clearly said, check the 14th, if not the morning, 14th at night, if not the 14th the morning, if not, then the afternoon, or then a Mayid. So the Darbanan clearly saying, you're doing one B'dika, if not this, then that, if not this, then that. Rabbi Yehuda, as far as the Bryce, seems to be saying, doesn't argue on that point. He's arguing on the point of checking after Mayan. Now, it's not so clear that Raya, but then the Mar brings a further Raya, which is black and white clear. Alma Mekameyach Lepudipliki, it sounds like an argument only in the future. That was the first of Mar's Kasha, Grace's Kasha. Mar Zucha Masach, Mar Zucha brings the Bryce as follows. Brings the Kasha, he brings from this came question of Basif with a different language in the Bryce. Rav Zucha Masach, Masar Basif, Rabbi Da Emer, Kosle Badak Mecha Mishesh, Prakam Alalu, Shuvena Baidik, Alma, Alma b'shuv ein baidik kudepligi. Now this bray is black and white because what does Lashon say? Kol shle badak bi echad mishlei shabakam lalu. Whoever didn't check in one of these three intervals no longer could check because he doesn't want to check on Yom Tov. So again, the machlekes still is the same machlekes whether you could check once Yom Tov or not. Rebbe saying nah, Chum saying yes, but how many times does Rebbe hold you have to check prior? Not on the night of the 14th, the morning again, and then again, b'shas abir, not three times, you check once, those are the three intervals when a person would be checking, but you have to check one out of those times. There's no machlekes when you read down there button in that matter. Says the Gemara, you're right. Also in the Mishnah means Imlay Badak. So now the Mishnah reads very similar. Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan are both saying, if you didn't check the night of the 14th, check the morning. If not the morning, then check further. The Machlekes just is, V'hachaba, P'kamifligi, says the Gemara. You know what the point of contention is? Mar Saver Mekami Yisura in Basa Sura Lai, Zera Dimas Lamechel Minei, Rabbanan Saver Lekas Green. The Machlekes read the Rabbanan is, whether or not there's a chiyuv to check once the Isser Zman Isser started. Right? Rabbi Yehuda says, only before the Zman Issa started, do you check? Only before the Mayid. This Lashon, by the way, of only Mekame, that the Zman Issa started, does fit very nicely like Rashi. Not like the other, I mean, Taisa's comment kind of toes both lines. Because Taisa says that Mayid means from the seventh hour, which is when the Zman Issa starts, through the rest of Yom Tov, that's the entire Zman of Issa, which Taisa's, again, can read the Gemara fitting perfectly as well. But Rashi, when he says, the reason why he calls it the Zman of Issa, Teicha Mayid and Lacha Mayid, is because the Gemara Beah calls it Zman Issa, the Gemara refers to Rabbi Yehuda saying you cannot check once the Zman Issa arrives. Zman Issa arrives before the Mayid. According to the Riff of the Rush, you have to say the Lashon Zman Issa refers to Yom Tov itself, refers to Pesach itself, but not Lav Davka from the moment of the Issa. Okay, but the point is, the Mechlekes Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda is very simply, Rabbi Yehuda says once it's Zman Issa Chametz, even if you forgot to B'dik until now, don't do B'dik anymore, because we don't want you coming in contact with any Chametz during Zman Issa. And the Chametz say, well, not Makbid, the Mark says, ask the Mark Hashem. And we explain the way the logic is, the by saying that I'm not going to pass this because you're coming to destroy the chametz, you're coming to get rid of it, you're searching it out to get rid of it, we're not concerned you'll forget yourself and eat it. We will see that Gemara coming up very clearly in the Gemara on Amud Aleph. Says the Gemara, is Rabbi Yehuda of the concern that maybe a person will come to eat from the food that's asr, meaning Rabbi Yehuda same as, don't do bdika on the chametz once it's manisr, because you may come to eat it once you're handling it. But we see exactly opposite from Yehuda when it comes to the dinim of Aymer, let's see, of Chadash. Vatran, we learned in the Mishnah, Mishakar of Aymer, when the Aymer is brought, Yaitzin Umaitzin Shukir Shlaim Shahim, Mileim Kemech Vakeli. Once the Aymer was brought in the morning of the 16th, on Pesach, they brought the Aymer, they'd go outside and find in the marketplace of Yishlaim, tons of flour and grains that already were dried, that's the Keli, the grains that were dried out from the new crop, from the stuff that was Chadash till a moment ago, you'll find in the market. How to get to the market already? Obviously, people are cutting it in the fields, handling it, dealing with it, while it's still Chadash, while it's Asr, and bringing it to the market for sales, the second Chadash becomes Mutter, the second you bring the Aymer. Says the Gemara, says the top of Yud Aleph and Aleph, says the Gemara further, This is a Mishnah in Menachas Daf Samach Zayin. Says the Mishnah further, this that they had in the market all set up ready was Taka not Baratz Chachamim, Diver Meir. That's Rav Meir Shita, because Rav Meir is concerned that once you deal with it, you may come to eat it. So Rav Meir said, even though it was Shleip Baratz Chachamim, that was the Mitzvah. That's what happened. The people were dealing with it and they would bring it for sale. The second was Mutter, it would be available for sale because they were dealing with it prior while it was Salasar. Why are you saying it was Shleim Baratz Chachamim? Yehuda says it was Baratz Chachamim. So like a Gaz Rabbi Yehuda, the Mas Mechaminei. So you see clearly, Rabbi Meir's concern Shleim Baratz Chachamim, since he can't eat from it, he didn't want the people dealing with the Eimer with the Chadash until the carbon Eimer was brought. That's Rabbi Meir Shita, which is the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda himself is not Makbid that he shouldn't handle it because he may come to eat it. It's exactly opposite our Gemara, where the Chol Gemara Rabbi Yehuda, which is the Rabbanan, say we're not concerned you're going to come to eat it, and Rabbi Yehuda himself is concerned. So the Gemara says, The Gemara right now is focused, by the way, on the steer of Yehuda, but the Gemara is going to ask, really, of a steer also in the Chalkin. The Gemara is assuming that the Rabbanan, who argue Rabbi Yehuda over here, includes Rameir, and Rameir over there is arguing Yehuda in the opposite direction. Rameir over there is Makbid, you may come to eat that which is Aser, and over here, the Chamim are not Makbid, you may come to eat the Chametz. So we're going to ask a steer in the Rabbanim will call it as well. But first, the Gemara is focused on steer of Yehuda. We're going to have three answers to this question. Three answers. Answer number one, and the Gemara will have a discussion about that answer. Amar Rabba. Shiny chadash. They switched the gears from Rabbah to Rabbah. I'm a Rabbah. Shiny chadash. Metirksho etartle el aide kitov huzacher. Basically, you got to do with the shinoi. They only were allowed by chadash. You only allowed to pluck the stalks with one's hand. You can't use the regular kalim that you normally use to pluck the stalks to reap the grains. And that's actually based on a pasuk. Since we learn it from pasuk vavaisim as aimer rishis kitzichem al kayan, we learn that that's the first cutting of grain, the one that you bring for the Eimer, is the first normal manner of cutting, but any cutting done till then, any grain that's cut till then, has to be done in an unusual fashion. So since you do it with like a shinoi, and that's again a dentaira, so you're not concerned that you're going to come to eat it because you're careful, because you know that you're doing it with an unusual manner. I'm going to buy it. That's all great. Peshas the cutting. Tena peshas ktifa, when you're plucking it, dafka using the word the lashon kitif. You do it with plucking, not with regular reaping, not with regular cutting. So that's great. At that moment, you're not going to eat it. But afterwards, this whole process, you're selling flour in the market. How do you get the flour? Remember, when you're sifting it, when you do it before that, you grind it. When you're grinding, when you're sifting it, what about the makeup tea over there? Halikasha, tchina berecha diyad, harkada agavinafa. You're right. You got to do those with the shina as well. Says the rabbi, well, the more defense of half a rabbi, the reason why it wasn't a concern by Aimer and Bechadish is because you're just like you're reaping it unusually, you're doing it, you're plucking it as opposed to cutting it. You're also going to use the hand mill as opposed to the water mill, and you're going to use the back of a sieve as opposed to a regular sieve in order to sift it. You're doing all the shinoi in order to be constant reminders that you can't eat from this grain, from this flour. Says Gemara still. This is we learned in the Mishnah. This is again a Mishnah Menachas. That's four blot later from the Mishnah we just quoted. Mishnah Daf Ayin Aleph Menachas. So the Mishnah there says you're able to cut the Beis Hashachar in the irrigated fields of Shemakim and the fields in the valleys. But you're not allowed to stack the grain before the Eimer. So to cut it, that you can do, but to stack it, that you can't do. And over there, the Mishnah is talking very clearly about cutting in a normal fashion. Doesn't make mention any word about Shinai. V'kimnak Rabbi Yehuda, and we established over there that Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda. Now we just explained by us. Rabbi wanted to answer the reason Rabbi Yehuda is not Makbid. Rabbi Yehuda says that it was not Shleim Baratz Chachamim. It was Baratz Chachamim, and the people in the market already had this keli and the flour ready to go on the 16th, which means they were dealing with it prior to the Eimer, prior to the Eimer being brought, prior to having a din of Heter, it was still Aser. We said the reason is because you're doing it with the Shinai. The Mishnah coming up before, but after that Mishnah seems to talk about doing you. Cutting it normal in the field, kaitzrim is kaitzrim with the regular ktsira, not even doing kitav, and the Mishnah has no issue, and we establish that Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yehuda, that we're not concerned. So this whole answer that you're doing with a shinoi is the chara falls by the wayside, because we have rise that Rabbi Yehuda seems to say, you don't have to do it with a shinoi. Ela amar baye. So now, therefore, answer number one is gone. Answer number one again was, we had a steer Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah Rabbi is worried about seeking out chametz, doing bedika after Zman Isser, because once it's in your hand, you may come to eat it. We were bothered that why by Chadash is he not worried for you to deal with Chadash? You may come to eat it by Isser. Rabbi wanted to suggest he was worried, and you got to do it with the Shinoi, but we have a raya seemingly from a clear Mishnah on Daf Ayin Aleph, which was saying, goes like a Buddha, that you don't have to use a Shinoi. So that can't be the Shinoi, can't be the answer. Elam Abaye, answer number two, Chadash Badalmine, Chametz Badalmine. Big Yisai that the Elam could have thought of based on this idea we had earlier in this Pesach already, we've brought it many times. Chametz is mutter all the rest of the days of the year besides 8 days. So 346 days a year, chametz is mutter. Only 8 days a year is chametz aser. Therefore, people are not used to being separated from them. Therefore, if you go do bedikah and find chametz on Pesach, you may come to eat it. Whereas chadash is exactly opposite. Every year till Pesach, any greens that grow between Pesach to Pesach aser, and they only become mutter by Pesach when you bring naimer, the prior year's grains are mutter, and now the current year's grains are aser. People are constantly in a mode of knowing chadash is aser, and therefore it's plenty. Badamanei, people are careful, and therefore Rebbe does not gezer. Rebbe does only gezer not to do bedikah on Pesach itself, because on Pesach, since people lay badal, they're not used to being separated from chametz, therefore they may come to eat it. Very, very, very clear chilek. That's Abaya's answer. Amar Rav. Rav says, Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Kasha. Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Kasha. You've answered Rebbe Yehuda's stira beautifully. Rebbe Yehuda, by chametz, is worried. By chadash, he's not worried, because chadash, people are normal. They're accustomed to being separated from it, whereas chametz, they're not as accustomed, and therefore more concerned. But there's also stira in the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan over here by Pesach are not concerned about doing bedika when it's already yomtiv, when it's already asur, or zmanitzer of chametz. Yet the Rabbanan over there by chadash, Rameir says that they shleib ratz chamim. The chamim were not happy that people were being busy dealing with this new grains before the Eimer's brought. Why by Eimer is Rameir being makbid, and over here, and by here by Pesach, we're not makbid, says Gemara. So Rava says, the answer you gave for Rebbe Yehuda is a beautiful answer. That sticks. I'll give you the answer to Rabbanan. How could you compare? By Chadash, you know what you're doing? You're dealing with the grains in order to ultimately prepare them for sale, for consumption, for eating. We're scared you may come to consume it early before the carbon's brought. By Pesach, you're doing a bedika to find chametz to destroy. We spoke about this far before. You're looking into a bedika to find chametz to destroy. Since your whole intent is to find it destroyed, we're not concerned you're going to forget yourself and you're going to come eat it. The whole, who asked my machzor of certify? His whole business now is coming to destroy it. Why would he come? Why would he come now and eat it? It's interesting that we say the certify to burn it. We've discussed it in the past. We touched on it at this discussion. There's a shaila whether or not the way of getting rid of chametz is dafka via sreifas, b'yudashita. We quoted also earlier from Rabbi Akiva. We said shmamin atlas early in the Masechta a few months back that we learned from Rabbi Akiva three things. One of them is they subscribe to b'yudashita that ain't the only way to get rid of tashbis is only by sreifa. We know the chamar can say no tashbis b'chol davar. Any way you get rid of it, they disperse it into the air. Anyway, you get rid of it. It's called Tashbisu. But the point of the Chari is, the first is beyond, it was going to come up actually in the Mishnah on Beis, the last Mishnah, in the end of the day, we're going to have another Diyak, Machlekes, Balmar, and Ravid, whether it's Taka proper Diyak, but again, a similar discussion, and the Ravid over there is going to say that no, the fact that we use Lashon Serfai is not an indication that Dafka Sreifa. Serfai, everyone agrees, is the best method. Even the Chamu say you don't have to burn it, agree, burning it, getting it, completely destroying it, is the best method, better than burying it, better than dispersing in the air, destroying it completely, better than throwing it in the water. Just burning it is the best method. But there are about to just say other methods work too. But everyone agrees burning is the best method, and hence the reason why the Lashon Gemara just takes for granted that you're coming to find it, to burn it, and therefore we're not concerned you're going to come to eat it if your whole intent is to come to burn it. I'm just focusing on why we picked the idea of burning it as opposed to other methods of destroying the chametz. Now, this idea that Rashi is going to say a third time, before we get to the third time, this idea that you're coming to destroy it, therefore we're not concerned that you're coming to eat it, so it does play ramifications of the Maisa. We already have the Rivash quotes from the Ritz Gaius that if you have a scenario where chametz is on the roof of a guy on Pesach, and it falls off the roof of a guy, that's his case. The roof, it could be any other scenario that resembles this. Chametz falls essentially from the shush of a guy to the shush of a yid. His case was, it fell from the higher roof of the guy to the lower roof of the yid. Now it's in the yid's domain on Pesach. So what does he do? So the Rivash quotes the Ritz Gaius, who says, you should move it away with a stick. If it's Shabbos Yontif, you can't move it, Muktzah, so you just cover it. If it's Chalamay, move it away with a stick. But he doesn't want it to move to be a dayim. Rivash says, why not? Because he's concerned, like Agamar has concern, like according to Behuda, there's concern they may come to eat it. That's the Rivash. The Rivash brings this idea, Shami Avalachla, there's a concern you may come to eat it, which is, again, fits very well with the concern Agamar of Shami Avalachla that was saying from Rabbi Behuda. However, the most common modern day case of finding chametz is actually people put chametz together in a location in their house. They put it all together and they quarter it off and they designate that's the area that they're selling to the guy with the chametz inside. They're selling that area to the guy for Pesach. Now, what happens on Pesach? Someone opens a cabinet somewhere, finds this chametz that wasn't put in that location and where the rest of the chametz was. It was outside of the designated guy's area. Guy's chametz area, it's outside of it. He has separate chametz, which you've got to put there. Now, the truth is, technically speaking, it was also sold to the guy. Part of the contract when we sell the chametz to the guy is you sell the chametz to the guy anywhere in the house, any chametz that you either put in that area or not, sold to the guy. He's supposed to be lechi have in that area. He also gets a kinyan, he has a kinyan of that makam, it's designated. But the maisa, any chametz in the house, even the chametz that wasn't in that spot, was indeed sold to the guy. So there is a major Kula over here, that the chametz does belong to the guy. I shouldn't say major kula. It's not by your by matzah because it already belongs to the guy. But the question is, could you move it from the spot where it is to where the other chametz that's designated for the guy is lasting? Based on the Rivash's understanding in the Ritz Gaius, l'chayri shouldn't. You should do it with a stick or something, not directly. L'mayis the Sheva Levi allows to move it, and what is his logic? Why he allowed to move it? Goes to the logic of the chametz Margamar, not Gavida. He goes to the logic of the chametz and says that you're coming to put it away because you don't want to have it around on Pesach. It's bothering you that it's not stored away on Pesach. We're not scared that in your short time that you move it from the spot where you don't want it to be into the other location with the rest of the chametz. In that moment that you're moving it, you're going to forget yourself and eat the chametz. You get who has to be above the surface, so to speak, because now I'm just coming to burn it. But it's like that idea. You're coming to move it away and get rid of it. We're not scared you come to eat it there for the Sheva Levi. Vosos Zatzal Paskins that you could put it into that location where the rest of the chametz is. The Sheva Levi says a big chiddush on top of that. He says, furthermore, you know what you could do? If you don't want to move it into that area, and you don't want to rely on this idea that since I'm moving it to put it away, therefore I'm not going to come to eat it. Maybe you're not so confident. You could burn it. Agamar clearly says, since you're coming to burn it, that's a chum shita. Since you're coming to burn it, therefore not concerned you can eat it, you could burn it. But there's a big kasha. How's Rav Sheva Levi allowing you to burn it? He himself asked. How am I allowed to burn it? Ailachar was saying all the chametz in the house was sold to the guy. Even the chametz that wasn't in the designated location was sold to the guy. How am I burning the guy's chametz? It doesn't belong to me, it belongs to the guy. Says Sheva Levi, Gishmak HaChidish, that the guy knows that the contract is that he bought the chametz off you for X price, and at the end of Pesach, you're buying it back from him at that same price. Whether some of the chametz was devoured or burnt or gone, he's still getting his money. So, and that's all he cares about. He's not really coming to the chametz. We know that. We're not saying that. We're not posing any error on the sale. It's still a valid, technical, 100% valid sale. He's selling it to the guy. But the guy's in it for, he wants to get back his payment at the end when we buy the chametz back from him. We're not going to pay him a dollar less because we burnt a piece of cookie that we found, Chalila, in our house on Pesach that was already sold to the guy. We're not going to pay him less for it. So what does he care if we burn it or not? He's getting the same money. That's all he cares about at the end. And therefore, the Sheva Levi allows to burn it. Lamaisa, some of the Pesachim, obviously, Sheva Levi, you know, which was very recent, it was just Nifter in recent times, is a more recent psak, but some of the more, we'll call it more recent, you know, the Heintiga Peskim, what they do is they actually add a clause into the contract with a guy, if it's written, or they just verbally speak out to the guy, and they say, they make it clear, a condition that because the Yidden don't like to have chametz out of the location that they're setting aside for the guy, if you happen to find chametz out of that location, that the guy gives permission to burn it mitchila. Even though it belongs to the guy, he's giving you permission to burn that chametz. So they do some, I'm not saying every mecher chametz, every rav does that, but some of the rabbanim now do put that stipulation in, not to rely on the lumdus of the Sheva Levi not that they're arguing, but why rely on it if you don't have to? They put it in as a clause in order to be able to burn it without any questions, without getting the guy's permission. But again, the general idea that you let him move it into the spot where it belongs on Pesach is going with this Gemara Svara, that you're coming to get rid of it, you're coming to deal with it, to avoid issues, you're certainly not going to forget yourself and come to eat it. That's how the Sheva Levi Paskins. Okay. This, by the way, before you go further, actually, two other points on this, where this is relevant, two other basic halachas where this Svara seems to be relevant in Shas, in what we're doing right now. We're learning before davening. We spoke on the Gemara in Brachas that learning before davening is not so simple, right? The Gemara says about not doing a cycle before davening, Rashi brings over there, even learning before davening could be problematic. Learning before davening could be an issue. How we learn before davening? So, when you have a fixed minion, maybe a fixed time, it could be it's better. No, the concern would be that you may come to forget, you get so involved in learning, you may forget yourself and you may not daven. That's going to be the basic concern. Lemaise, we ourselves find Gemara's in Bracha itself, where it says a little bit opposite. When the Gemara says, I think we spoke out recently, the Gemara in Bracha said that a person comes off of the field and he goes to the Beis Medrash to learn that the Chamim were Misakin, that he should say Shema right away, he shouldn't be able to eat before he says Shema, in order that he should go to the field first, come off of the field, go first to Beis Medrash, learn a little bit, daven, Shema, Shmar Nesrei, and then come home and eat. In case if he comes off straight right away, he may fall asleep and not end up, you know, saying Shema and Shmar Nesrei. So the Gemara already over there discusses learning before davening, at least in the evening. So the Chari, there already is Gemaras that are clearly saying it is okay. But the point is, one of the coolest that they bring, very interesting Svara, that they bring is the whole idea of davening. Of course, is connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. What do we do when we learn? When we're learning, we're connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're learning. We're being Marbek Kvei Shemayim, Baruch Hashem. We're Zeicha Marbek Kvei Shemayim. We're being Zeicha to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu through our learning. So that's all connected to davening when we're involved in something that's gufa coming to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. How would that lead us to forget from davening? Which is again a question of the whole thought process. L'maisa, we say that learning could be a problem for davening. We're just answering that's not a problem for davening. We're just saying that the thought process is flawed to begin with. But the leniency not to be machmer on this idea of learning before davening because it may take us away from forgetting to daven. We may forget to daven is because of the whole point of learning. If we really understand what we're doing, is to obviously to connect with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. How would that make us not come to daven? That is one of the as far as the hot air similar to our idea. You coming coming to get rid of the chametz. You're coming to get rid of it. You're not going to come to eat it. Why are you coming to get rid of it? And a similar place with this board, big chiddush. We know in Shabbos we had, again, we just had in Shabbos, before Erevin, we had in Shabbos the idea of Shemayata, that a person may come to, he can't read L'ar Ner, because he may come to tilt, he may come to, the Ner actually came up already in Pesachim, but he may come to tilt the Ner in order to make it a steady fire. He may come to steady the fire on Shabbos, which is a problem of of course, of Mavir on Shabbos. Now, what if one is learning the sugya of Shemayata? He's learning on Shabbos the sugya of Shemayata. So the place the Mefarshim want to bring that over there, there's a heter, you're allowed to read Lara Ner when you're learning the sugya of Shemayata, because you, how would you be learning the sugya of Shemayata and be mata? That you wouldn't do. Even though you can say you get caught up in the sugya, but that the Mefarshim say you wouldn't do. The place can say you want to do that. Further, they discuss that maybe even learning Hilchah Shabbos in general. Maybe general Hilchah Shabbos, because I'm being asking Hilchah Shabbos in general, that also would be a leniency to be able to read Lara Ner. That is a little less comfortable, because when I'm learning a different topic of Shabbos, I may forget myself and be mata than Ner, and therefore that specific kula, they're not that specific to take it that far, they're not as excited, but to read the sugya of Shemayata La'ar Ner, that they want to be makel. Again, your gufa being Isaac and Shemayata and the sugya of Shemayata, we're not concerned you'll be Yata. Okay. Next answer. Ravashi Amar, again, we want to answer the Stira and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda by us is makbid to look for chametz on Pesach, because you may come to eat it once you find it. Whereas over there by the Chadash, he was a makbid. Ravashi Amar, Rabbi Yehuda, why? Kemach v'kali tanan. We're talking about flour or grain that was dried. Grain that's dried is inedible, and flour is inedible as is. You're talking about things that are inedible as is, so you're not going to come to eat it. Chametz is edible as is, therefore it's a problem. Simple chilik. Says Gemara, Hadar of Ashi Bidusi. Very nice, simple chilik, but it's a mistake. It's a mistake. That's, the Bidusi often means like a little bit of a joke. It was a joke, it wasn't serious. It's a mistake. Why? Hatena b'kali ve'elach. Oven toasted grain had to get oven toasted. How did you bring the grain to the stage of oven toasted? You obviously had to handle it in between. Meikarat kali, Michael Mamer. How were you able to handle it in between to get it to that stage of being oven toasted? Okay, says Gemara, 1 second. Chitem ade kitav. Kiraba, maybe combine Ravashi's teretz with what we said before from Rabba with the Aide Shinoi. But we have the question of Rabba's teretz. We spoke out before from the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Aleph in Menachas that you could be kaitzer in normal fashion. Ella, kaitzer beis hashachem v'shav amakim v'kinuk yabihuda, ma'ik lemem. We still have a question from that Mishnah on Ayin Aleph, which we said you can kaitzer, and kaitzer is in normal fashion, not doing kitav, not plucking it. You can cut in normal fashion, and according to Bihuda, it's not a problem. That means when it's ready, still grains in the field before it was toasted, you're doing it in a normal fashion without Shinoi. So that can't be the answer that it's not able to be eaten because it's oven toasted. Until oven toasted was done by Shinoi, because our raya before that you weren't using a Shinoi was even before that stage of toasting it, it was by the cutting stage, and therefore that Ravashi's kash is no good, Ravashi's answer is no good. So if Ashi's answer and Rabba's answer were deflected, Abaya's answer that the chilik is whether or not the chilik is whether you badal minei. The rest of the year, you're not badal for chametz, and therefore we're concerned by chametz. Whereas chadash, you always badal minei. A person always has to have mind throughout the year, is this chadash or is this yashin? You badal minei, and therefore we trust him more by chadash, and we don't trust him as much by chametz. That the answer Abaya gave, and that's the answer that sticks for Buda. The other two answers were deflected. Okay. Effective right now. Abaya's answer. Anyway, time where a person is not bundled for something, he's not used to being separated. Migas Bidas Bidu Geyser, whenever he's not used to being separated, the time we learned the Mishnah. So again, this topic of Shemiyata, of Nair, of oil on Shabbos with the Nair. A person shouldn't make a hole into an eggshell on Shabbos, Vimelan Shemin, and pour Shemin into it, Vienna beside a Nair. So basically, he's giving a feeder into the Nair, this egg with dripping oil, he's using it as a feeder into the Nair. He shouldn't do that in Bishul Shetimatevis. Hang up the eggshell near the Nair. Leave it near there so that should drip into the lamp. You know why? Because we're concerned you're going to move some of the oil from the eggshell, which will make it higher for kibbutz. By removing some oil from the eggshell, it causes the fire to go out early. Now, this is actually an interesting idea because there's a machlekes over there in Shabbos, machlekes Tosfos and the rush. What the issue by removing some oil from an Neir on Shabbos is. Directly from the Neir. Again, we were talking about the egg, an eggshell, which is like almost like a reservoir of oil for the Neir. But we have this machlekes in general by a Neir. When a person removes some oil from the Neir, what is the issue there? This is certainly kibbutz. But what's the reason why it's also kibbutz? Tais says, don't say the issue is right now the candle, the wick has plenty of oil, and the wick is lit perfectly, and by removing oil, you're causing it down the road, the wick will burn out earlier because it's going to have less gas, less oil. But that's gram kibbutz. That's not kibbutz. That's gram kibbutz. Tais says that can't be the issue of removing oil. Maybe based on rabbanan, maybe be, you know, chathila shouldn't do it, but we wouldn't call that kibbutz, regular kibbutz deraisa. That's only gram kibbutz causing it to go out at an earlier time, later down the road. That's Tosfos. The Rosh argues says, no, gram kibbutz is a form of kibbutz. How does Tosfos learn over there? The Mishnah does call that kibbutz. Tosfos says the kibbutz is that when you, interesting enough, when somehow when you remove some of the oil, even though there's more oil there and the wick is fully submerged in oil, it causes the fire to get a little weaker. By moving some of the oil, I don't know exactly understand or know the science of this, but when you move some of the oil in the nair, even though there's enough oil now for it to continue burning, the fire, at least momentarily, flickers, gets a little less strong, gets a little less steady, and that's the keyboard we're talking about. That's Tosfos. Our Gemara here that we're discussing right now, we didn't get into the Kishkas yet, our Gemara that we just quoted about not putting a beitza, as a reservoir to drip oil into the nair, which is totally separate from the nair. It's not even attached. It's going to drip oil into the nair. It would seemingly be very clear to fit easily like the rush, that the concern is any removal of oil will cause the light to extinguish earlier, and the fact that it extinguishes it at an earlier time, even though you call that a gram kibbe, that's considered a regular kibbe, and it's usser. According to Taisa, it will be a little harder to understand this halacha. But okay, so we're saying over here that you have this egg that you wanted to drip into the shemen, and we're saying you shouldn't do it. Why? The Tanakhama says you shouldn't do it because we're scared you're going to remove it. Rabbi Yehuda is matir because he's not concerned that people are going to remove it. L'chaira, this is something that people are not badal minenu. People throughout the year do remove oil from this egg that they have as a reservoir for their nair. If they need oil for other purposes, and it's good oil that they could use for something else, they do remove it. You're not badal minenu, and Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned that Shabbos that you're going to come take out oil from the egg. Why not? L'chaira, whenever it's not something that you're separated from, so l'chaira, you should be concerned according to Rabbi Yehuda, like by the case of Chametz HaPesach, answers the Gemara, Shabbos is Chomer. Hasam Mishum Chomer the Shabbos Middle Badili. Very interesting. Apparently, Chomer the Chomets is not enough. Al Chomer the Shabbos, a person is extra careful. By Chomer of Shabbos, a person is careful, therefore, that's called Badal. Al Chomer Shabbos is Badal. I think the answer is that by Chomets, it's not the Peshat that Chomets is not as chomer. Chomets of Shabbos has karis. I mean, maybe you don't have the same skila, but it is karis. But the point is, there's a fundamental difference between eating something in someone's hand, which is so, unfortunately, for many people, it's by rote. It just happens. You just do it. As opposed to scooping out oil is already one madrigal away. So for that, the badal minei of Shabbos is enough, even though, of course, it's a shak iser, but it won't be enough to create a badal minei when it comes to eating. I think that would be the simple explanation why over here we see badal minei and here not. Frank Demar still. From the Shabbos, as Shabbos. We now have a steer in Shabbos itself. Tanya, we learned in a braisa. Chevel delish nifzik, if the rope of a pail snapped. Leia kashu, you shouldn't tie it in the knot. You shouldn't tie it on Shabbos, even if you're not making like a permanent knot, because tying it at all may end up coming to a permanent knot. Elo Einve, what should you do? Make a bow. Making a bow is completely avoiding the issue of making knots on Shabbos, of the melach of kosher. No. Kerech of Punda Episka. Wind a belt around it without any tying, even on a bow. Don't even make a bow. Seemingly, the Mar assumes he's concerned. If you make a bow, you make it to make a knot. Seemingly, he's concerned that you're not badal mina. You're not careful. So Rabbi Yehuda is being machmir that a person won't be badal for making knots on Shabbos. Yet elsewhere on Shabbos, he's makel by the oil, taking oil out of the egg. He's not concerned that you may come to extinguish on Shabbos. So you're allowed to use, let me say better, you're allowed to use the egg next to the nair without concern. You may come to remove oil from the nair from the egg, even though throughout the rest of the year you do such a thing. Says the Gemara, Kashya Rabbeinu and Kashya Rabbanan. We also have Kashya Rabbanan now. There are a bunch of the ones that are not makbid by the Chevel, and they were the ones, quote, or Meir, who was makbid before by the egg. By the egg that you're gonna come to take out some oil. Says the Mardabanakasha, Shem Shem Michlev. Oil is confused oil throughout the year. The person takes oil out of his lamp, out of his egg, and he's gonna do the same thing on Pesach, and therefore it's a problem. Whereas Anivak Shule Michlev, they have a simple answer. They said make a bow. They said make a bow. You're right. They were concerned by the oil, they're not concerned by the bow, because you're making a bow. Exactly it. You're making a bow instead of a knot. A bow is okay. It's gonna be enough of a chilik, enough of a hecker, and therefore you're not gonna make a mistake. So therefore they allow a bow. Rabbi Yehuda is not a steerer. Why? Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot make a bow, even though he allows to use an egg with oil, and we're not concerned that all you're ready to take oil out, so you make him take it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, very simple. We know this from Erevin. End of Erevin, we had this. Time of the Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is not being geyser that if you do a bow, you make up to do a knot. He holds aniva is a form of kosher. Elo de kasav aniva gufa kshiri. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that aniva is kshira. Right? That's the sheet back on Kufi Gimel and Shabbos. He holds that a bow is also a form of kosher. That's why he says you got a problem over here. Not because of from you may come to make a mistake. If you make a bow, you may come to make a knot. The bow itself is problematic. Therefore, he's makbid here. From your abundance, says we have another steer in the abundance. To tie kosher, you could leave a piska. You could tie a knot to a pail. Avolei bechevel, but not a rope. So piska is like a type of string that's not really used for an everlasting string. It doesn't have a kiyum. Whereas a chevel you can use. If it doesn't matter even with a rope. So chevel amai. What chevel are we talking about? Rabbi Yehuda is being matter now, even with the rope. Elam chevel d'alma. If we're talking about a real proper chevel, Rabbi Yehuda matter. Rabbi Yehuda matter. Even my real proper chevel, kesher shakamu. It's a regular proper kesher. Vadas levatule. He's certainly going to come to leave this kesher kamu in his place, even though he could have in mind he's going to undo it. We should be scared he's going to leave it in his place. And Rabbi Yehuda certainly an aser. Remember, Rabbi Yehuda asered even an eva, even a bow. Certainly, Rabbi Yehuda is going to aser a knot of a regular chevel and not rely on the fact that you're going to undo that bow right after the Shabbos. El pshita de gardi. He must be. Just being matter because we're talking about the rope of a weaver, and such a rope is not fit to last. It's going to snap eventually, and it's not considered kesher gemma. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's makel over there says that knot you could tie by a weaver's knot on that type of rope that you could tie because that's not a kesher. It's going to last. Not concerned. And the rabbanon even over there are concerned for a gazer rabbanon chevel the gardi at the chevel alma. The rabbanon over there gazer the chevel of the weaver unto the chevel of the alma. Whereas over here, just earlier we said the knot gazer are making a bow onto making a knot. So why are they makel by making a bow? They're more makel the Rida. They allow making a bow and not considering to come to make a knot. Whereas by the chevel the gardi, the rope, the making a knot of the weaver over the makbid. Answers the Gemara are pretty simple terrors. In chevel b'chevel michlif, aniv b'kshir le'michlif. There are michlif. There are one held that you may mix up a chevel b'chevel, mixing up two types of ropes that you'll mix up. You're right, the rope of a weaver is not a permanent rope. But once you can tie one rope, you may mix tie another rope, and another rope will be permanent. That's really a concern. But a bow and a knot, that's two different types of ways of closing something off, and therefore we're not concerned that a person is going to mix up a bow and not according to a button, and therefore they weren't geyser in that case. Okay. Is that so that where a person is not detached from something, you're not detached from it, you're not separated from it. Rabbi Yehuda is not geyser. Vatanya bechor shachsedam, a bechor that got like a fever. Achsedam is got congested with blood, and you're concerned it's just going to die as is. So afilu umes, even if it's going to die, emakiz ledam. You can't let blood. They used to have this notion that the way to solve some of these issues was bloodletting, right? I don't think modern day medicine typically works for that, but back in the day, bloodletting was a big way to solve some of these issues. You're not letting up blood because you may come to make a mum in the bechor directly, and it's also to lahat al mum in the bechor, and therefore you can't be makizam even at the expense of the animal dying. Say no, you can be makiz as long as you don't have intent to make a mum through that kaza, then you're allowed to do it. Lamais is not allowing it because it may come to making a mum. We see now this something clearly people are badal mine. People are badal from making a mum and kachim. It's an isra, obviously. And you say, therefore, you should be careful. And still, Rabbi Yehuda, even where it's badal mine, we ask, we have a case where it's badal mine, and still Rabbi Yehuda's geyser. Even my case of badal, we made a chilek that again, that by chametz he's geyser because you're not badal. But by Shabbos, let's say we said, or by the case of chadash, people are badal mine, they're separate, detached from it, therefore we're not geyser. Here we have a case by Bechar where people are badal mine, and he's still geyser. Hasam says, because a person's bal for his mom, and he's scared he's going to lose the Bechar, and it's going to be worthless, he's bal amamayne. Therefore, Aminim, we say, if we allow him to make a kaza in a place where it's not considered a proper mum, he's going to be so bold, he's so nervous about losing his money, there he's going to come to make a mum in a place where he's going to come to let blood in a place where it makes a mum, and therefore we're geyser. In this case, even though you're badmine, his bahala, he's all stressed out, his stress is going to cause him to make a mistake. For Rabbanan, kol shkendi l'sharas le'klal aslamevet. The Rabbanan say, you're right. The Rabbanan don't disagree with this idea of stress. The Rabbanan just held, but what's your eitzah? If you don't allow him to do something to fix it, he's just going to be either this or outright. We'd rather him do something in an eifin heter than do an eifin isser. He's bull, he's about to lose a valuable amount of money. This animal, if it dies, becomes worthless, right? You can't shechta, you can't use the meat, it gets worthless. So he's bull, he's nervous, he's about to lose the whole animal. So if you don't allow him to let blood in a hetetic fashion, he's just going to come to be eifin isser and be matlamum outright. And therefore, we'd rather, you're right, it's lesser two evils. You're right that he may come to mess up and make a mum in the wrong spot, but we'd rather allow him to make a mum, beheter, in the right spot, with the risk that he may make it in the wrong spot, which is proper mum, which is a real mum, which is an isser. We'd rather allow him to do that than let him leave him to his own self-control to not do anything, in which case, Meskeres Yinavadeh, make a mum. Okay. Umi Arminan, the Mar asks, do we find that Rabbi Yehuda says, Adam Bal Mayne, we're saying this whole logic why Rabbi Yehuda does not allow to deal with this Bechar, is because Adam Bal Mayne. But Vatami Rami looked at the Mishnah, Rabbi the Emer, Emekadim, 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 you can't comb the animal with a metal comb on Yom Tov because it makes a wound, Al-Makartzefin, but you can use a wooden comb that doesn't make a wound, V'chamayim, Ein Mekadrin, Af, Ain't Mekaritzin. The Chum say you can't use metal, nor could you use wood. Vitanya, Ezekid Ved Karatzin. What's the difference between Kidr and Karatzin? Kidr Ketana Vaisachabura. Kidr is small comb that has thin teeth, which makes wounds. Karatzin Dome is the thicker teeth. They're more dull. They're more thick. Vainasachabura, and they don't make Chabura. Now, what do you see? You see, Rabbi Huda allows using the wooden comb, even though you can't use the metal comb. And we're not scared that he's going to be anxious that he can't use the metal comb to get rid of the animal when you don't comb it out, it gets bitzar from lack of combing it out. We're not concerned that he's going to get nervous about the animal being bitzar and going to go use the metal comb. So we see Rabbi Huda does not worried about Adam Bal Amamayne being nervous about his money. Gemara says very simple. Over here by the Bechor, talking about a case of the animal that's potentially going to die and be worthless. Over there, the animal's bitzar. No, if the animal's bitzar, not that we're happy the animal's bitzar, but that's not enough reason for a person to be Bal Amamayne. He's not going to suffer monetary loss because the animal is bitzar for this short interval of time. Hasav di shavik le mais. Over there by Bechor, if you leave it dies, I mean Adam Amamayne, we say a person's Bal Amamayne. Whereas Hacha, shavik le tsar ba'almo. If you leave it, it's just a tsar ba'alma. It's not more than just tsar. Like, I mean, other mamayne, we don't say a person is bo al mamayne. Rabbi Yehuda, the Mara asked, last question on this. Mashik abichamis to gazar, or mashik abichamis to gazar. Why abichamis to mice was he gazer? And why abichamis, where the wooden comb, was he not gazer that you may come to use a metal comb? And by chametz, he is geyser. Answers the Gemara: lechem b'lechem michlevi. The lechem bread, compared bread which is mutter all year round, compared to bread which is chametz. Person is going to mix it up, and he may come to eat the bread. Of course, it's easy; it's much easier to mix up, and therefore we make a gzeira. Kid bekaratzav michlevi, whereas a wooden metal comb, people don't confuse. Allowing a metal comb will not lead a person to automatically use a metal comb. People know the difference, and therefore we weren't geyser by the combs, even though we were geyser by the chametz. Zakh the Mishnah, Rameir Aimer Echlim Kol Chamesh, you're allowed to eat on Erev Pesach. Throughout the whole fifth hour, you can continue to eat chametz. The surf mishtichas sheish, and you burn the chametz in the beginning of the sixth hour. Rabbi Yudam Rita says no. Eichlin kol arba, you let eat through the fourth hour. V'taylin kol chametz, but the fifth hour you hang. Meaning, what's hang mean? You don't eat anymore, but you don't burn yet. The surf mishtichas sheish, and you do the straif in the beginning of the sixth. They both agree straif is the beginning of the sixth because the issur chametz starts by chatzais by the end of the sixth hour. So they both agree you burn in the beginning of the sixth. Question is this: do you stop eating at the end of the fourth hour? Or you stop eating at the end of the fifth hour. V'ayna Rabbi Yudah. The two chalas of teida psulais that became pasul menachas alitztava, they were placed on top of the two chalas of pasul chalas of teida were placed on top of a bench by the beis hamikdash on the har bayis on erev Pesach. Now this was going to be the symbol for people to look at. Kozmash menachas, when you have two loaves of bread there, kolam eichlin, everyone knew they were able to eat chametz as long as they saw two loaves of bread. Nila achas, once one of the loaves was taken, we know it's the status of teila, no more eating, but you don't have to burn yet. Leichem leisarfen, no eating, but no burning either. When you have nitlu shteyan, once the second loaf is removed, hischilu kolam tzarfen, all the am would go now and do the sway for them. That would be an indication. They didn't have clacks back then. They didn't have WhatsApp on Maizmanims. That was a way for them to see. It is now time. It's the beginning of the sixth hour. Time for us to burn the chametz. Rangamil Aimer. Rangamil says, Chulin Nechal Kal Arba. Chulin could be eaten throughout the fourth hour. Kachim, sorry, Truma Kal Chamesh. So even though he's kind of making a quasi shita in between Rameir Brida, he's being lenient to Leo in the fifth, only Truma, in order because we're particularly mocking about Truma not going to be destroyed. Truma Kal Chamesh, the Sarfet Chil Shesh, and you burn the beginning of Shesh. And again, over here, the Mefarshim on Medayik, here is the Balamar, is Medayik, both are Meir. Rabbi Yehuda and Ragmil all speak about burning in the beginning of the sixth hour. We spoke about before in this year. Why focus on burning? We said, you can get rid of tashbises b'chol davar. Is this a raya that all the Tanaim, the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, is a shdasai? But Rabbi Meir and Ragmil, do they agree to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Kiva? And what we want to suggest before earlier in the daf, was also Rabbi Meir, actually. We said in the Bryce earlier, are we saying that Rabbi Meir holds that it's b'sreifa and Rabbi Gamil is agreeing it's b'sreifa? So that is the diak of the Balmar. Yes, indeed, he says the Iker, he said the way to do the tashbis is b'sreifa, according to our Mishnah, and everyone seems to agree to Behuda, not like the Chachamim, when we're running out of Chachamim, because we already have Rabbi Kiva and Gamil, according to this, Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Gamil, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Meir, all saying b'sreifa, but the Chachamim say tashbis b'chol davar. However, the Ravid argues, the Ravid says that no, that the lashon of sreifa over here is because that's everyone agrees that's the ik way to burn. The ik way to burn is the sreifa, and that's why he's lashon of sreifa. But lav dafka sreifa tashbisa of course works b'chol davar. Let's just see the first gemara. Tanan hasam. We learned in the mishnah over there. This is a mishnah in Sanhedrin which discusses the Edom that are testifying with slightly different testimony. The point is going to be how far apart we can excuse a mistake of the Edom. Meaning one thing can happen at this time, one thing can happen at that time. How far apart can we excuse the mistake of the Edom? And by explaining how far apart is justifiable to excuse the mistake of the Edom, we can connect back to our sugya and see why they made the distinction with the amount of hours that one could eat chametz for on Erev Pesach. So let's just quote the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, and then we'll leave the connection back to our Gemara for tomorrow, Mitzvah. It's not the Mishnah. Tanasam, we're in the Gemara now, quoting a Mishnah Sanhedrin. One says happened on the second month, one says happened on the third of the month. And this is a canvas. Why? What's the explanation? No one's lying. This guy knew that it was a Ibr Chaydish, and this guy didn't know it was Ibr Chaydish. He thought it was a third because he thought it was the last month was a regular month. And he knew this other one knew it was the second because he knew the month before was the prior month was a full month, was a Mali month. But if they're apart by 2 days, because one of them is clearly not saying the truth. One of them is maybe he's not lying on purpose, but one of them doesn't have his facts straight because they're off by 2 days apart. One of them is wrong about the timing. Similarly, one says it happened at 2 hours into the day. One says it happened in the third hour of the day. And just a canvas, 1 hour apart, that makes sense. We say one of them is just miscalculating, but that's not considered enough of a messing up the facts to invalidate the entire Eidus. Then Eidus of Batel, Tanaka, Divrei Meir, Meir says over there too, the Eidus of Batel. Rabbi Yudaimer, no. Eidus of Kemes, that's still Kayim. Echa Mechamesh, Vechama Besheva, Eidus of Batel. Why? Shechamesh, Chama Mizrach, Besheva, Chamesh, Marv. Because then you pass the Chasayis. So at 5 hours of the day, the sun is in the east, and 7 hours, the sun is in the west. So over there, Rabbi agrees that 2 hours apart is enough of this rapidity. But from three hours into the day to 5 hours into the day, not enough of a discrepancy in where the sun is and in the light of day to say that this person is for sure saying faulty testimony, and therefore granted one of them is not bang on, but it's not enough to passel the testimony. We'll pick it up here tomorrow, Mr. Shem.